This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
There is a little special greeting from Pastor Tim via video. He's still on the island in the Dominican Republic, so with our missions team. So he sent a little message, and I want you to take a look.
Good morning, Facebook friends. Pastor Tim here, and I just wanted to drop in and say hello to you on this awesome Sunday morning. You can see behind me, this is the view we get to enjoy from the Mission House here every day. And God has been so good. It's been an amazing week. We had the conference yesterday, about 50 pastors and pastoras and some leaders from the local churches came together to learn about how to help men become better fathers. That, of course, is one of my favorite things to do, so it was awesome. And then, was it Friday night? I lose track of time. Friday night, the concert was amazing. We loved doing that on the street there in the center of town. And people were coming just on their motorcycles, dropping in for a few minutes and listening. As they're driving by, they're turning off the music in their cars to hear what was going on. And we had just an amazing response. I'm trying to be quiet because there's some teams that are having their devos here on the patio. But it was just such a great time. So the team is doing so, so well. I'm so proud of them. Thank you all for your prayers. Keep it up. We had a surprise invitation today to go to one of the larger churches here in town, a church that the ministry here has never connected with before. And they heard the team on Friday night, and they came to the conference yesterday, and they said, you're coming to our church tomorrow. We said, I don't think so. But we let that be the decision of Rick and Kerry, and so we're going. And so the team is already getting up and getting ready to go. We're tired. You know, your bodies take a physical toll. You're not used to the environment here. And, of course, we're working really hard. We've had several work projects that have been great. But, you know, it takes some energy out of you. A couple of our team members have been kind of sick, so they're resting today. Grateful that Will is back to good health. You can give God credit and glory and thanks for that. So he's able to go with the team this morning to the church to help with that. A couple of other team members have kind of got it, you know, here in the chest and stuff. So pray for their strength today. We're going to finish strong. Today after church, we go to the hospital to make visits and pray for the sick. And then tomorrow we begin the trip home. So thank you so much. And I'm so appreciative of all your support back home, especially to my Restoration peeps. Thank you so much for believing in us and sending us with your resources and your prayers. And just believing that God's going to help us today. Leave a lasting impression on San Cristobal. All right, God bless you. Have an awesome day, and the Lord will see you soon. Bye-bye.
Can we just give a hand clap? And this is so awesome to hear the good word. And next week, you want to make sure you come back, and there's going to be some great stories that are going to be shared in the house. But while we had we had our missions team go out, we had an impromptu little mission that was gone down to the House of David in Oklahoma. So yeah, the first lady's coming up and she's going to share a little update.
Before first service, several people had asked me, how did it go? And so I just wanted to get up and just say a quick word about our trip. Tuesday started at 2 a.m. at our house. Everybody met at 3 to get in vehicles to go down to the airport. And then by 11, Isla, Marge, and I were heading down to Miami, is how they say it, Oklahoma, to go to the House of David service that night for Shavuot, which is the Feast of Pentecost. So we were down there. We took our offering that we collected Sunday, and the rabbi had asked that he wanted to pray for whoever came down. So there was two lines. So I got over in rabbi's line. I was like, we were on the wrong side, so we headed over, and so we got our prayer from Rabbi over our offering. And the scripture that was highlighted during that service, I didn't share this first service, but I want to say it this time, was out of Matthew 29:9. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. And that's Matthew 19:29 out of the New King James Version. And I just believe that our mission was accomplished going down there. We were, a rabbi had called Pastor Tim on Saturday and was just getting, he had felt led to call. And so we talked, and so we were obedient in doing what we felt like the Lord was asking us to do. And I also want to tell you that Sunday afternoon after we took the offering last week, Pastor Tim got an email inviting us to Togo, Africa from Bishop Paul Naya. And we had met the bishop down at the Seder 50 days before. Just how the Lord has orchestrated this all. So in August, we've been invited to go to Togo, Africa. So, and with Togo, you have to get an invite so that you can get a visa so that you can go into the country. So it's not like we could go, okay, we want to go to Togo now. No, you need to be invited. So it's just awesome how the Lord works everything out. So thank you, everyone. Let's keep praying about the building. We haven't heard any word yet. So just keep praying, and we're just believing for everything to work out.
Yeah, that's good. Can we thank the First Lady? Whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah, we have. It's just been so cool to see the sphere of international influence that this house is being able to take part in and export and share. I mean, we just basically said three nations almost, you know, because House of David, even though they're in the United States, Rabbi Kurt Landry has a huge tie to the nation of Israel. So we're talking about Africa, we're talking about Israel, and we're talking about the Dominican Republic just this week. And it's so awesome to see how the Lord has given us a ministry for the nations. And here today, my message, it has the end goal of it has completely, has everything to do with our ministry to the nations and what you guys have in here at Restoration. So today I'm going to be talking about unity. And when dad, that's spoiler alert, it's my dad, but when Pastor Tim, I'm going to call him Pastor Tim because I'm working on that. So from the stage, Pastor Tim. So when Pastor Tim asked me to teach when he was gone, he gave us a list of words that we could be, we could consider to teach on. And the one that rang out to me was the word unity. First reason why is because I feel like, and the most important reason is I feel like it is the secret sauce to what, to the church's success in the world, and seeing hearts changed and hearts coming back home to Jesus is unity in the body of Christ. And the second reason was because unity, it's something I've had a unique experience growing up, getting to witness. My dad, when he was, he's been in the ministry for over 30 years, and he started a ministry in 2000 called Joseph Resource Group, and he got the opportunity to go share with churches all over the nation, and I would get to go and be the little passenger seat 10-year-old, hanging out with his dad. And it was a great experience. But secretly what the Lord was doing was he was planting in a heart for the body of Christ, the whole church. And he's given me an opportunity to see so many churches and see how every different flavor of church is it's a little different, but it's all good. It's all good. And what I really want to implore to you today, and what I want to encourage you to understand, is that unity in the body of Christ is very important, but it doesn't mean that we're all standard. We're not all bricks like against this wall, because a brick, if you see, I just tripped on my own stuff. Hey, so a brick, is like a rectangle, and we're not all rectangles. We're more like a stone wall. We heard that Dad mentioned, Pastor Tim mentioned that last week. Don't laugh at me. I'm going to call it my wife. We just had our first anniversary last week. Whoop, 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 whoop. So if I sound a little groggy, it's because I literally hit St. Joe, and like all the pollen that had been missing in Texas just hit me. So I'm like, I'm a little half note lower than I normally am. So just bear with me on my grogginess. But anyways, so we're not rectangles. We are not bricks. We are unique stones that are being built into one body, into one stone wall. It's just such a cool image, especially when you, if you think about, if you remember one of the prophetic words that was spoken to our house, to our church, was that we will take the burnt stones and we'll rebuild the wall, we'll rebuild the church. And so, I mean, how do stones get burnt? It's from warfare. You know, we're comparing it to Nehemiah when the wall was destroyed from war. So we're getting to take the charred stones and we're building a house here at Restoration. But it starts with unity. So everybody say unity. Unity! Awesome. You guys are so great. So when I was trying to think of a natural way, you know, like a practical application of what I think unity could look like, you know, for on the day-to-day, I think the easiest way to do it is through a sports reference. So how many of you remember when the Royals won 2 years ago? Woo! 2015. It hasn't been super awesome this year, but it's improved a little bit. But I remember watching the World Series play and just admiring how there was no superstar on the team. There wasn't anybody like mega on our team that was like getting all the hits. But it was a unit effort that pushed that World Series title to the win. And it's the same with the church. You know, the church is not built of one solid person, but it's built on everybody coming together and congregating into Jesus, you know. And so unity is our secret tool. Let's turn to John chapter 17, verse 20. So today I'm going to be taking the Great Commission and this verse, and I'm going to be breaking down what unity looks like today. So what does it look like? Let's start in verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 21. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent and loved me, even as you love me. So who's Jesus talking about making one? He says a lot of theys. So that was the first thing I thought. I was like, well, who exactly is they? What's he trying to say? And if he gives us the answer in verse 6 of that same chapter, so a little bit back, he says in verse 6, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So to paraphrase it, it's the people that follow Jesus and follow God's word. So that's who we're talking about in unity. And you know, that's basically the whole church. That's the whole church. You know, if you're standing on God's word, and if you're standing on Jesus being your savior, then you're a church that we could stand along with, and we can fight together in unity to see the world get turned upside down for Jesus. So yeah, it's awesome. So we've answered the question, what is unity? What is unity? What does it look like? But how is it applied? You know, what does it look like at Restoration? And I really felt like, and as I was preparing for it, I really looked at felt like the Great Commission was the perfect application of how we build unity in our church and Restoration. So go with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm reading today out of the English Standard Version. So not the NIV, but I just like the ESV. So just in case you noticed, it looks a little different. But verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I think one of the my personal examples of unity in the church was when I went to Finland in 2010. I was a part of a missions team, a short-term missions group that went and played music at three different cities in Finland. And it was such a great opportunity for me growing up to really just to get to experience another culture. But really what I came away with that I remember today most strongest is the fact that, you know, when you're in the Church of Christ, when you're in the body of Christ, relationships are built so much quicker. It's almost supernatural how close you can befriend someone. We actually had someone on our team marry a Finnish person, you know, that was a Finnish Christian. And it was crazy. Like, they got married within, I think it was maybe a couple of years, but their friendship started within a few days of us on the mission field. And the thing I pulled away from that is when you are, you know, when you're walking in God's path and when you're stepping, you know, specifically in a missions trip, when you're stepping out, you're letting God have it all. You know, you're just saying, here's my time, God. And that's when you see more things happen. You know, more things happen when you're on a missions trip. It's because you're completely giving yourself over for that time. You're giving them all your time and effort. So that's where, you know, the Lord will speak to a lot of people. You know, there's been a lot of foundational stuff spoken into this church from the Dominican Republic. And it's because you pull yourself apart. And so it's a good example of how unity knows no boundaries. You know, it can be an international thing, but it's just about the body of Christ coming as one. So, but the Great Commission is the perfect guideline for how here at Restoration, and we are building unity to take over the world, you know, for Jesus. And when he starts with in the sentence, he says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." I want to take that and apply it to today, where we're at today. So, what is Jerusalem to the apostles? You know, is what is it to us? It's St. Joe. It's our church. It's our house. And I'm going to break these down too, you know, so there'll be three. But I have three points that go underneath our Jerusalem. So the first header of this, if you're writing down your notes, you could put unity in home. Unity in home. So, and it's behind me. Oh, that's so awesome. What? It's like we planned it or something. So cool. I have 3 points under unity in the home. What's the secret sauce to making Restoration Church strong? Point one, it starts with honor. So at Restoration, we believe every heart can have a home inside our walls. Like a body, each muscle, each limb has a unique purpose for the body. 1 Corinthians 12 it's a great chapter that really stretches that metaphor of the church being a physical body. But verse 26, it says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And as we honor every part of the body, you have to remember that you need to honor the head first. You need to honor the vision that comes from the head. And I would say this if it wasn't my dad, you know, because I've also served underneath other lead pastors. And I learned this from leading, you know, I learned this first from being led by another pastor. So coming in, you know, having my dad as my lead pastor for 9 years now, almost 9 years. It's been a good application. It's been good for me to work on it. And it applies to everybody that when you honor your head, when you honor the head of the house, then all your steps will just go great. It'll just go well. It's just what we do. It's how Jesus honors the way we live and the way we work and every step of life. So it's just a way to apply it. So number two, how to get unity in the house. It's maintained by discipleship. So it starts, it's born with honor, it's born with honoring the body, all the different parts, and it's maintained by discipleship. Here at Restoration, we encourage everybody, as soon as they say yes to Jesus, as soon as they step into our doors, we want to help them. We want to help them take their next step in their walk with Christ. And our mission statement at Restoration is really simple. It's to love, to lead, and to launch. You know, it's a rocket ship. I always like the launch one because I always want a rocket ship at the end. So, but this is also our model for discipleship. We love every person and demonstrate Jesus' love. We lead them into their own personal journey with Jesus, and we launch them into their God-inspired destiny. And that launch, that's my third point. my third point is, it is fulfilled through restored hearts. So unity is born through honor. It's maintained with discipleship, and it's fulfilled with the restored hearts. And Restoration has, our dream is for every heart to be able to, every heart that walks into our house will be able to find Jesus and encounter Jesus, whether it's the first time or for the 100th time. That they'll get an opportunity to come into our home and learn and grow and be discipled and see their destinies and see their future revealed that God's given them. So it's awesome. And it makes it so much fun. You know, we had a great example of this 2 weeks ago when Sarah McInnes, our guest speaker for Mother's Day, came up and just showed us a very physical demonstration of repentance towards her mother. And it was just such a sweet act. And I couldn't help but, pray into the Lord. And I said, Lord, why did you give this to us? You know, this is a huge gift, you know, because Sarah's a public teacher and speaker, and she has a great ministry. And her message of restoration, personal restoration, is basically what she travels around teaching on. So she took it a whole new step that it was obedience step when she came to our house and had her mom on stage and asked for her repentance, you know, asked for forgiveness. And it was just so special. And it was a picture of what the Lord wants to do in every heart that walks into restoration. So when I saw it, I was just like, man, that's it, Lord. That's what I want for everybody. That's what I want for everybody. So that's how you get unity in the home, folks. It's good. It's good. And it's exciting. And it leads to better things. It leads to the next step, which is unity in Samaria and Judea and Samaria. So Judea and Samaria, to me, is our neighbors. And I consider it as basically anybody that doesn't call Pastor Tim their pastor is who I'd call our neighbor. So it could be people that are in church or people that are not in church, that are lost or just believing in Jesus in a different congregation. You know, that's who I consider a neighbor. And we're called to honor all of them. I put in my notes something I was considering. Samaria was not the traditional Jewish culture dictated they didn't associate with them. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Mom. It's my mom, the first lady of all of them. So, it was not acceptable for them to even approach Samaritans. And so when Jesus approached the Samaritan woman at the well, who was publicly known to be in sin, it was just completely against every norm. And Jesus walked into that moment and he was able to express love and show her the right way to, you know, to him. And that's what he's calling all of us to do as a body and as a church and as an individual, is to love everyone, even when it seems unnatural to the world, you know, when it seems countercultural to the world. We're called to be unusually lovely to people. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 14. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Mm-hmm. We are called to love and speak life into every person we might encounter, even if they don't deserve it. And for me, I think the really good Old Testament application, Old Testament example, is the prophet Daniel. When Daniel was taken, he was ripped from his hometown. When he was ripped from his home, and he was placed amongst just foreigners in the foreign king, and he had to serve a foreign king, and he did it with humility and honor towards that king that took everything from him. And he's rewarded, you know, after even after being cast into the lion's den, you know, his love for the king is unusual, because he's able to basically pop out of the lion's den when he's supposed to have been dead. You know, he pops out and he says, "Great are you, King. May your kingdom last forever." And it's so unusual. And from that is where Daniel was given the opportunity to find favor and find influence into that space. Because that's the whole point, is that God is calling us to have influence into our neighbors and into the world. That's the next steps. And it only starts when you honor, when you align yourself with the way God, the way Jesus loved other people. And another example for me was Joseph. When Joseph was a man who he honored his captors, even when he was wrongfully imprisoned. And then the Lord used him to save nations from famine, including his once jealous brothers. You know, it's such a crazy story. It's a crazy story to think, you know, he was just torn apart from his family, by his family, sold into slavery. And then he kind of worked his way up the totem pole a little bit in the house that he was serving in. And then the lady of the house, Potiphar's wife, lies and gets him thrown to prison. And then he's at the bottom again. And then he works his way back up once more. And that, from that point is where he's able to find favor with the king. And it's just because he keeps honoring, he keeps keeping himself in humility, and just works diligently day in, day out to love. Even when he's afflicted, he loves. And because of that, he's able to serve a nation. He's able to save the nations and save his family from a very, you know, from famine. So literal famine. So it's just an awesome story. God will not give us the earth if we don't speak life into our workplace, into our families, and into our churches in the city. And it's just a reality, you know? We just have to figure out how to honor the people that don't look like us or don't agree with us. It's a step. It's a hard step sometimes, especially when you consider the age of social media that we're in. You know, Facebook makes it really difficult. Twitter makes it, well, it doesn't make it difficult. It makes it really easy for you to post your opinion. It makes channels really easy for us just to share whatever the heck we want to and feel like we're doing a good job in doing it, where just having a little bit of humility and honoring other people will take you so much further than just getting your opinion out there. Because you have a higher calling in life. And I believe that for every person, that everybody's called to do something greater and have influence. And that's supernatural influence that God wants to give you. And it starts with when you honor other people around you and when you love other people. So I wholeheartedly believe that. So and we want you to find that here at Restoration. So what's the next step then? Once we're rocking it at church and you're rocking it around your neighbors, God will then give you influence to the ends of the earth. And for me, when I see to the ends of the earth, I consider it going this way, going out and going to the side. And for so in my brain, I'm a very visual person, so I have to find the words for it. So when you go out, he's given us influence to anywhere you can walk, to the nations. You know, if you can travel to China, you can travel to Europe. He's also empowering us to have influence into time, into generations. It's not just about today anymore. It's about tomorrow. And you have to remember that, you know, when you're honoring your house and when you're honoring your neighbors, that you're doing this for, you're doing this unto yourself so that you know, future generations can stand and walk and take another step further than you went. So our big goal while we breathe on this earth is to transform. When Jesus said in Acts 1:8, to the end of the earth, he empowered us. So I really want to emphasize this idea that God has equipped us not to impact nations today, but to impact generations. Unity in the body today is for the next generation, to lay the foundation for tomorrow's generation to continue the mission. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13 and 14 say, all of your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. If you want your children to be protected, answer his call in spiritual warfare. It's just the truth. You know, it's just the truth. If you want your future generations to be able to walk in the freedoms, you have to take the call today and stand up and, you know, and engage in spiritual warfare. And today's practical application of spiritual warfare is unity. Is when you stand together, arm in arm, in this house, or if you're visiting today, whatever house that you may, you know, whatever church you may attend, you have to stand in unity with that body so that we can see the love of Christ move forward, and not just forward to the nations, but forward through the generations. It's super important, you know, and I think, you know, we're at the point where it's still a growing church. You know, we just started 3 years ago downtown, and we're trying to establish steps today that will lead into the generations. You know, it's like, that's my dream, is for this church to go beyond even me, going beyond my life. You know, it's like, I'm a young man, but that's a goal, you know, and just be able to see that this building, what if this building was half of its life was, you know, like half of its life is a church, and then, you know, like 300 years, you know, it's like, that's what I want the Lord to, you know, that's what I want the Lord to do in this body. So I think today's application, practical application for everybody, is to just consider where you're at today and consider the 3 points that we're called to be unified in our house. We're called to be unified in our city, and we're called to be unified in our nations, to be influencers in our nations, internationally. And so I'd like everybody just to close your eyes for one moment and just consider what the Lord would do with you today, what the Lord could speak to you today. So I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Come speak to us today, Lord. If there's a specific place that we need to change, Lord, if it's uni, if it's being more unified in the house and restoration, Lord, that we will listen and we will obey. Lord, we just thank you for Pastor Tim. And we thank you for the vision he's given us. I mean, the vision he's given this church through you, Lord. And Father, we speak life to this vision. Lord, we just say yes to the mission ahead of us. And that we won't stray left or right, Lord, but we will follow. We will stand and we will go on the offense for your kingdom and for your glory, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our neighbors, for Samaria, Lord, that if there's any bad attitudes or any wrongdoings that have been done to us, Lord, that we'll find it to forgive and love, Lord. Lord, we pray for every house, every church in St. Joseph and the neighboring cities too, Lord, that they'll be blessed today and they'll be blessed this year. And Lord, we just thank you for every lost soul. God, we ask for your eyes and your ears to be able to be your love to the lost today in our area, Lord. And God, we thank you for the nations. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be a church of export, to be a church of wealth, not to hoard, but to give away freely. And Lord, we just thank you for the nations, that you'll give us influence into hands. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done with the Dominican Republic, with the First Nations. Lord, it's such a gift to be able to have and share with our First Nations people. And Lord, we just thank you also, too, for House of David, too, Lord, that it's been such an incredible relationship that we've built. Lord, we just bless Rabbi Kurt. Thank you for having him speaking to our pastor, and having him speaking to our church. And Lord, I thank you for every heart at Restoration. Father, that there's dreams and visions that are going to be realized in these hearts today. Lord, I thank you that Restoration gets to be a part of that. Lord, that we get to see your kingdom come on earth. So, yeah, Lord, we bind all the things that has been spoken today, Lord, and we just set it into our hearts. And Lord, I just pray for you to give everybody moments this week to apply your message today. And, yeah, we thank you. We love you. In your name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.